listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Tune into an all-new Inside the Cleveland Browns every Wednesday at 7 on Sports Time Ohio with a look into the lives of the Cleveland Browns players on and off the field. That's tomorrow at 7 p.m. on Sports Time Ohio. That show is hosted by myself and Sarah Carnes. Check it out on STO. Going to give you a little bit of a national perspective now on the Browns' aggressive move this morning. A statement was made, I would say that as well. And then we're going to bring in John Clayton of ESPN now. John, thank you so much for joining us here today.
How you doing, guys? How's everything going good?
Everything, well, things were better before the Texans game, but certainly it never a dull moment here in Cleveland as the Browns, coming off of that Texans loss, have decided to part ways with Ben Tate. What do you think about the move? What do you think the Browns are trying to do there?
Well, I think what they're trying to do is trying to eliminate any kind of a malcontent, and I'm not saying that Ben Tate's a malcontent personally. It's just that you can see that he's not happy with the way things are going, and he's willing to speak out about it. And, you know, it's not as bad as, say, the situations in Pittsburgh with LeGarrette Blount or Seattle with Percy Harvin or even Ahmad Brooks, but I think that they addressed it knowing that they have other running backs that had actually been doing a better job. And so I think when you're trying to change things around, get a different culture in the locker room, and you know that you have a player that right now is, you know, certainly has issues with his playing time and his number of carries and how they're using him, you know, why not try to make an example of him to show that, okay, the coach and the general manager are in control. And so in this case, and as much as I like Ben Tate, because, I mean, he's a good running back, I think he probably put himself in this position, and, you know, he'll just be with another team as probably as soon as tomorrow.
John, is this something that we're seeing league-wide because of the youth movement and the uncertainty at the running back position that, you know, guys are being paid significant amount of money to play running back or in signing free agent deals, but I believe it's almost a next man up mentality at the running back position, and the second that young player or inexpensive player can show value to that team, they're kind of heading in that direction and away from that free agent.
Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, I think you can see in free agency what happened, and Ben Tate was part of it. I mean, you know, all the best that anybody did, and that includes Chris Johnson, who's had a 2,000-yard season, was $4 million a year. And that's where it seems like the market starts to break down for a running back. Now, we'll see, you know, if DeMarco Murray is able to get more than that or if he's just going to be franchised for 1 year. But first, you can see from the salary standpoint, you know, they're treating running backs as if they're all replaceable. And so they're trying to minimize what they're spending, realizing it's like, okay, if you have a great one, maybe you pay him, but there's only about eight that are making significant dollars around the league, and all those guys are getting old. And so I think what you're seeing is a changing of the guard at running back where it's like, okay, you know, it's better to have maybe two or three running backs as opposed to putting the money in others. And if you're not happy with one running back, it's like, okay, fine, we'll go with these younger guys. But I mean, really, the younger part of the league is happening everywhere in all positions. I mean, this league is getting so young because, I mean, now fewer and fewer guys are getting second and third contracts either with their teams or getting big contracts with other teams.
John, we're talking with John Clayton from ESPN now on the Ohio Business Machines hotline. And John, you talked about Ben Tate. You think he'll be snatched up fairly quickly. What are some possible destinations as you see it?
I'd see Denver, maybe Indianapolis, although Indianapolis signed Josh Cribbs. Now, they signed Josh Cribbs not knowing that Ben Tate was going to be cut. But, you know, I think he can be in one of those two teams. And, you know, I think first it depends on what the situation is with Monty Ball, but he re-injured that groin. I'd be surprised if he plays the rest of the season. Ronnie Hillman has missed two games with a foot injury, and they're just thin at the running back position. So I think that Tate would be somebody that they would look at, and, you know, very much so they may consider it in Indianapolis. So those would be the two teams that I think up front would be after him.
John, what are your impressions of Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell, the Browns' two young rookie running backs?
I mean, they're doing great. I mean, it's like you can see that, you know, it's so surprising right now the way the backs are kind of emerging because, you know, it doesn't matter if you're taken in the third round. It doesn't matter if you're taken in the sixth round. As long as you can show the quickness and or the power, whatever it's going to be, that, you know, you can get out there in 1 week to another. You don't know who's going to be the starter. But it's like, you know, you can see that the offense can run. And that's, remember, there's been an inconsistency, I think, with Cleveland with running the football this year. But, I mean, you know, on Sunday, I mean, hot running back did pretty good.
That's right. And John, just as one Brown has left, another Brown returns, the emergence of Josh Gordon back into the locker room. How big of an asset, we know what type of player he was last year, what type of asset and expectations do you have from a national perspective on what he can do to spark Brian Hoyer in this Cleveland Browns offense?
Well, the big thing is getting downfield and offering a big target. I mean, those guys are so rare I mean, although this year's drafts had provided so many of them, because this was probably, without question, the best receiving draft I've ever seen, and I think you can see it in the numbers and the play time and all those different things. But I think what he can do, you know, he gives Brian the ability to stretch the field, also gives him a big target. So if he just throws the ball up high, Gordon can get that ball. So it's a big help in the red zone. I mean, you know, I think what you can look at is that probably the way that he'll be, you know, at least getting back in shape and all that, will be similar to what we saw last year with maybe Michael Crabtree in San Francisco. Remember, he came off the Achilles. You know, he had a little bit of a couple games to get acclimated. But, I mean, I think by probably, you know, four games into this, he's going to be making his 6 to 7 catches a game.
And, John, when you look at this Browns team standing here at 6-4 after 10 games, despite the fact they've had no Josh Gordon, they haven't had Alex Mack for 5 games, they haven't had Jordan Cameron for 5 games, how impressed are you with what the Browns have been able to do, and how do you see the rest of the season playing out for this team?
I'm very impressed, because I think the big thing is that you just didn't know if Brian Hoyer was going to fit into that category, like all backup quarterbacks or most backup quarterbacks, that, you know, if you play him 6 games, they're going to be sitting there at 3-3. You know, the fact that he's been able to have 3 fourth quarter comebacks, that's been huge. And that's pretty much the difference, I think, that's kept him in. Now, arguably, we know that all the teams in the AFC North are taking advantage of, you know, bad football coming out of the AFC South. I mean, when you think about it, there's 8 games there, and there's only one team with a winning record.
Sure.
But, you know, Cleveland, for the most part, has taken advantage of that, and so that's good. And I think what you can see playing out is that there's a good likelihood that, you know, all 4 teams in this division are going to have winning records, and maybe 3 of these teams may have 10 win records. The question is Cleveland going to be at 9, or are they going to be at 10?
That is going to be the question. Will it be enough to get into the playoffs there? This game this week coming up against the Atlanta Falcons, a team that doesn't really run the ball. The Browns, obviously, so many injuries now on that defensive front. Good matchup for the Browns, or a tough matchup, you think, this week?
I think it's a dangerous matchup, because anytime you take on a quarterback as talented as Matt Ryan, you just don't know if you can totally control him, because he's accurate, he's good, and if the game's close, he can obviously pull it out just like he did on Sunday. So it's a dangerous game like that. I mean, you can see that, you know, the Falcons have pretty much, I mean, they haven't won a game outside the division yet. I mean, they're 0-6 in non-division games. So from that standpoint, because of their defense and their offensive line problems, they are beatable. But also, too, if you're Cleveland, I mean, you've got to be wary, because, you know, this is kind of a new venture here after a few years, trying to go with a winning record this late in the season and making sure it can sustain. That's why I think it was so important to make sure that mentally everybody was in the same page, and that's why Ben Tate became a scapegoat today, you know, because it's like, hey, we've got to make sure that everything stays focused. And so that may help. I mean, even though you lose a running back, you gain the support, I think, everybody as far as trying to stay together.
Yeah, and are you surprised that, given, you know, you could, if Bill Belichick did that, nobody bats an eye, right? But this is Mike Pettine in his first season, Ray Farmer in his first season. Are you surprised that they felt comfortable enough to make such a strong statement at this point in the season for a team that's, you know, in a playoff fight?
I'm not surprised for, like, a Ray Farmer, because I think he's more old school football, and so I think that, you know, you can see how solid he is. I think you can see how organized he is, and if something's not in place, he's going to push for it. I think the pleasant part is seeing how well Mike Pettine has handled things. I mean, because nobody knew what his track record was going to be coming into the season, and I think he's accounted for himself so well. And so, no, I think that both seem to be on the same page, and at least now it's put the team in a position where, hey, it can make the playoffs.
John, thank you so much for the time on this busy day, I'm sure, and appreciate you stopping by. Your thoughts on Ben Tate, Josh Gordon, and the Browns at large.
Okay, thanks.
All right, that's John Clayton from ESPN weighing in today on a busy, busy, busy day here in Berea, as the Browns have released Ben Tate, the team's running back, who will now be a clear going through the waiver process, could be claimed, and if not, he will be a free agent, free to sign with any team in the NFL. When we come back, Matt and I will continue to discuss this topic. We will ask you for your phone calls now. 216-578-0850 still to come. At around 1:45, Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports will be by with his take on it. 2 o'clock, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. And then the second hour, we'll get to all your calls and tweets, but we're going to start getting to those right now. 216-578-0850. Ben Tate, no longer a Brown. Do you agree or disagree with the move? Who's your starting tailback on Sunday? And do you like the Browns' boldness to say, listen, if you're not going to play like a Brown and embody that mentality, you're not going to be here. We don't care if it's the middle of the season. We want your thoughts on that right after this. Thank you very much. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily with Zagur and Wilhelm on ESPN 850 WKNR.